something?
Oh, there's one. Okay. So let's talk about synchronizing clocks. Okay, so this is a very important concept, very basic concept. Okay, so suppose that I've got two clocks, and I put one of the clocks over here, and one of the clocks at the other end of the table. Okay, so here are my little clocks. Okay, so I know, high tech, there's one clock. So high tech, it doesn't even stand up. Okay, there's one clock, and there's the other clock. How do I synchronize those clocks? Bring them together? Okay, so let's do that. So here's one clock. And just to make it a little bit better, we'll put a clock on it. Okay, so there's our clock. There's one clock, and here's the other clock. Okay, so I brought the two clocks together, and then I make sure they're reading exactly the same time. And then what? And then what? Okay, so I'm starting them both at the same time. They're both stopwatches, and I went like this. Click. Now what? So I want to have clocks that are separated, but that are synchronized.
Need more people. Well, if you put them both at either end of the table and end with that on your signal, if you're sending right between them, then they need three.
Okay, so that's right. Okay, so let's just go with this. Suppose with this for a second. Suppose I had these two clocks, and I make sure they both read zero at the same time. And so I put one down here, and I go over here. Okay, are they synchronized?
No.
Why not?
Because you accelerated. But if you were to walk by and synchronize them as you're walking, so you didn't actually accelerate while you were moving.
All right, so let's do that. So there's one, and here's the other one. I'm moving at a constant velocity. Okay, as soon as we pass by, we zero the clocks. Okay, and then I walk over here. And then
you drop it and it's
okay. So there it is. Okay, so is that okay?
No, it's accelerated.
Okay, so let's draw that in a space-time diagram.
Okay, yeah.
So that clock never moved, that clock was at rest the whole time. The other clock was came in like this at a constant velocity. We zeroed both of them, zero, zero, and then it went like this, and then it decelerated. So there's a slight curvature there. And then it was at rest on the table. Okay? So that clock was at rest. So what was it doing? Tick, 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 tick. Okay, this clock over here, during the time that I was walking, even though it was constant velocity, what was happening here? Was time moving at the same rate here for this clock as for this one?
So there's time dilation, right?
So the spacing between these tick marks is greater. So it's maybe like that. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 seconds elapses here, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, and then there's a little bit of split second here for the deceleration. That doesn't really matter. Okay, that's no big deal. So basically, when that clock reads 7, that clock reads 4, and so they're no longer synchronized. Yeah?
You need to start them in the middle. So okay.
Okay. So we start them all both in the middle like this, side by side. Click both stopwatches, and then we have two people who walk in an exactly symmetrical fashion, and then put them down. Okay. Excellent. So we start like this, and we synchronize them both together, and then we accelerate. One goes this way, and then moves at a constant velocity, then decelerates, and put at rest on the table, and then we have an exactly symmetrical. The other side. Yeah, and that'll work. And then they'll be synchronized. Okay, is there another way to do it? Suppose I want to synchronize a clock that's located here and one that's located on Pluto.
In the case you apart, you can just send a laser signal, and then you can just cut it like that.
Excellent. Okay, so another option is to just say, okay, we've got two clocks that are reading totally random times, but they're identical clocks. And then we know the distance between. So when my clock reads exactly zero, I send a light signal over. And we know that the light goes at 300 centimeters per second. We've pre-measured the distance. And so when this guy gets that signal, this guy says, oh, I should set my clock to zero, except I need to account for the time lag. Maybe it takes 1 second for light to get from there to there, so I set my clock actually to one instead of zero when I receive that signal. Okay? So that's another way to do it. So there are lots of ways to do this. So another way to do it is we just put a light bulb here exactly in the center, and then click it on, and then light goes in either direction, and then as soon as those guys receive the light signal, they zero their clock. Okay? And so that's this kind of a picture, where both clocks remain at rest the whole time, and there is there's a little flash bulb right in the middle there. So here's an event that happens, bang, like that, and light signals go out at 45 degrees in both directions. And when they receive those light signals, they zero their clocks. And then forevermore, those clocks are in sync. Okay, like that. Okay, so there's lots of ways to do this. The way that we're going to actually do it, which will be really convenient for us, is slightly different. Okay, so what we'll do is this. We'll say, so just let's draw the picture first in space. So the picture in space is something like this. We have Alice, and we have Alice Prime. And what we do is Alice sends a light signal over to Alice Prime, who reflects it back like this. Okay. And what we know is that according to principle P2, we know that the speed of light on the way there and on the way back is the same. Okay? And so let's draw this in a space-time diagram. Okay, so here is Alice. And there's Alice Prime. And there. Okay, so let's see here. So Alice sends a light signal over to Alice Prime, who then reflects it back like that. And let's suppose that Alice receives, let's say this is CT. And that's CT A prime. And this is measured in meters. So let's suppose that, and this is also 45 degrees both ways. Okay, so this is the situation here. So Alice just sends this light signal. It goes to Alice Prime, and it comes back. And the total round trip time is 12 on her clock. Can she tell how far away Alice Prime is with that information? How far away is Alice Prime? How far away is Alice Prime?
Someone said 6. Why 6? Who said 6? 6.
Oh, 6.
Why 6?
Because
it goes both ways. Okay. So we know that this distance is 6. Okay. That's because these are 45-degree triangles, so that's 6. This is 6, and this is 6. 6 and 6 is 12. Okay, so basically, if it takes 12 units of time to go there and back, then it took 6 units of time to go there. And so it's basically 6 units of distance between them. Okay? That's called radar ranging. Okay, that's how you determine distances to objects. Okay, like radar, right? How do you determine where an airplane is? You send out a radio wave. The radio wave goes out, hits the airplane, reflects back. You time how long it takes to get there and back, and you divide by 2, and you determine the distance to the airplane. Okay? It's a lot more convenient than getting out there with a meter stick and laying 1 meter stick next to another one. Right? Okay, so
let's look. Can you see how we might be able to use this situation to synchronize the clocks? As well as measuring distance. So I'll let you think about this. I'll just want to write down the word radar ranging here. Okay, and that's how you measure distances also, well, to much more distant objects. Okay, so How are we going to use this for clock synchronization? This event over here, when Alice's clock reads 6, what should Alice Prime's clock read? 6. It should also read 6. Okay. So for Alice and Alice Prime, who are at rest with respect to each other, they would claim that these two events are simultaneous. If they had, say, a light source in the middle, which sent a light signal to both of them like that, they would find that those two events are simultaneous. Okay. So the way that Alice and Alice Prime can use this. This procedure here to synchronize their clocks is Alice just sends a light signal out. It hits Alice Prime. She reflects it back. She takes the total time. Oh, the total time is 12. She divides that total time by 2, and she says this is 6. So and then after the experiment is over, after she receives a light signal, she yells out to Alice Prime and says, "Hey, when you got that light signal, your clock should have read 6." Okay. And then so Alice Prime says, "Oh, my clock read, you know, maybe 10 when I received that signal." So what I do is I move my clock back 4 units. Okay, and then forevermore those clocks are synchronized. Okay? Does that make sense? Are we clear about that? Okay. So one of the things about this is this is a physical process. Okay, anything that we do in nature, anything that we're always subject to the laws of nature. And so this process of synchronizing the clocks is a physical process. It uses a physical phenomenon, light, and we know something about that physical phenomenon. According to principle P2, whatever light is, it moves at a speed that's independent of the motion of the source. In this case, both sources, both Alice and Alice Prime, when she reflects it, are at rest. Okay, so it's sort of a trivial thing, but we do know that. Also, it applies, this is the important point, this physical process, according to the principles of special relativity, principles P1 and P2, applies equally well to moving observers, a pair of observers who are moving with respect to Alice and Alice Prime. Okay, so suppose we had, say, Bob and Bob Prime at two ends of a platform like this, and this platform is moving with some speed v relative to Alice and Alice Prime. They can use exactly the same process. Send a light signal. Bob sends a light signal to Bob Prime. It comes back. Bob divides that time by 2, the total elapsed time by 2, and then yells out to Bob Prime, says, "Your clock should have read blah, blah when blah, blah," right? Okay. And the reason we can do that is we have principle P1. Principle P1 tells us that any pair of inertial observers, say, this pair compared to this pair, moving at uniform relative velocity, are equally entitled to consider themselves to be at rest. Okay, and then by principle P2, we know that if you're at rest, the speed is c, independent of the motion of the source. Okay. Yeah. That's exactly right. Okay, so let's look at that. So all of this gets interesting now when we look at the Bob and Bob Prime clock synchronization experiment or process from the Alice and Alice Prime point of view. Okay, so let's do that. Okay, but I want you to be convinced that this is valid for Bob and Bob Prime to do that. So according to the principles of relativity, so we're trying to understand the nature of the universe based on these principles. And if the things that we predict based on those principles turn out to be true, then we gain some confidence that those principles might actually be a fact of the universe. If they turn out to be wrong, well, then the principles are wrong. So it's very important to understand that these principles are not laws of nature. I mean, they're just guesses, right? I mean, they could be wrong. They're subject to experiment. It's very important. So, but what we do in physics is we guess. We guess some certain principles or some certain equations, and then we try it out. And then we see how far we can get with those. And I should just say, so far, these principles are the most accurately, one of the most accurately measured principles in all of physics. They measure with extreme precision. Okay, so here's our situation then. So we've got Alice and we've got Alice Prime, and they're doing clock synchronization procedures and radar ranging, determining their distance and all that kind of stuff. So that's happening here. And we've also got Bob and Bob Prime, who are moving with some velocity v on their little platform relative to Alice and Alice Prime. Okay, but from their point of view, they're equally entitled to consider themselves to be at rest. So let me just sort of sketch something like this. So this is this little dashed line here is basically Bob and Bob Prime space, which is moving with that platform. Okay, and this bigger dashed line here is sort of like Alice. Call this AA prime space. Okay, so this whole space of the blackboard is the Alice and Alice prime space for which things are at rest. And here's the Bob and Bob prime space, and Bob and Bob prime are moving in the Alice and Alice prime space. But Bob and Bob prime, they're equally entitled to consider themselves to be at rest, and they have their own space. This is the Bob Bob prime space. And Bob and Bob prime and their space, which is moving with them, is moving through the Alice Alice prime space. Okay. Now, in the Bob Bob prime space, if we were inside that space with Bob and Bob prime, those guys are equally entitled to consider themselves to be at rest. All they're doing is they're standing at two ends of a platform, and they apply this clock synchronization routine. And from their point of view, what does it look like? It looks like this. Here's Bob. Here's Bob prime. Bob sends a light signal over to Bob prime. Bob prime reflects it back. So Bob sends a light signal over to Bob prime. It gets reflected back. Bob looks at the amount of time, the total amount of time elapsed. And what does he do? Divide by 2. He takes that total time, whatever this is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He divides that by 2, 1, 2, 3.5. And he concludes that this event, that point in space-time, is simultaneous with that event. Okay, so simultaneous in the sense of this. Okay, these two events are simultaneous. They're happening for me, they're happening at the same instant of time. Okay, so when I click them like this, sure, there's I'm at rest with respect to the air, and it takes time for those sound waves to get to my ears that I can hear, but it's obviously equal time. Okay, and I can hear them at the same time, and they're happening simultaneously. Okay, so these two events are then simultaneous. We'll call them, say, P and P prime. Those two events are simultaneous for Bob and Bob prime. Okay, so that's important. They're simultaneous. Okay, so now the interesting question is, so this is all sort of obvious. The interesting question is, what does this experiment look like? What does this procedure look like from the Alice and Alice prime point of view? Okay, Alice and Alice prime see Bob and Bob prime moving through their space. But they can still, and they see their light beams and all that stuff. So they can observe that experiment happening, or that procedure happening. Okay, so let's draw that. Okay, so there's Alice and Alice prime. We're taking the point of view now that Alice and Alice prime are at rest. So their world lines are vertical. They see Bob and Bob prime drifting to the right across their frame. So their world lines, say at this point over here, Bob crosses Alice's world line, and say at this point, Bob prime crosses Alice prime's world line. Okay, so both of them are just drifting to the right with some velocity v, and they do this radar ranging experiment. This clock synchronization experiment. Okay, so what happened to all the talk? So what does it look like? Well, let's see. So this event over here, down here, here is Bob. Bob has emitted a light signal, which travels over to Bob prime. So at this point over here, Bob emits a light signal, traveling towards Bob prime. So the question is, what does that light signal look like from Alice and Alice prime's point of view? How would I draw that light signal? Yeah.
45 degrees.
What?
There's light, so it's the same independent of motion.
That's right. Okay, so this guy's at 45 degrees. Let me try to draw this reasonably carefully. Okay, so this is 45 degrees. My principle P2. Principle P2 says that that the speed of light is independent of the motion of the source of light. Bob is moving to the right, and Bob prime is moving to the right. So, that's right. So Bob and Bob prime actually start over here, but they're drifting to the right, and so at some point, Bob is coincident with Alice, and Bob prime is coincident with Alice prime, which is what's happening here. Yeah. Okay. So at that instant, as they're crossing, as one platform is lined up with the other platform, Bob and Bob prime start doing this synchronization procedure. Bob sends a signal over to Bob prime, and that light signal travels at 45 degrees, even though he is a source that is in motion. Right, so Bob is carrying a flashlight. From Alice's point of view, there's a moving source. Bob clicks on that flashlight, but even though the source is in motion, Alice is going to see that light move at the speed of light, which is 45 degrees in her diagram. Okay, and then what happens? Then that light signal hits Bob prime and gets reflected back. Okay, so at this point here, Bob reflects it back. So I'm going to draw a light signal going back. At what angle do I draw it?
Would Alice see Doppler shift?
Yes, absolutely. So if Bob is using, say, a red light, and, well, it depends. So if Bob, well, suppose that Bob is just a little bit to the left of Alice, then she will see his light signal passing this way, and so the light signal, he's approaching, so the source is approaching, and so she will see the frequency blue shifted. If Bob were just to the right of Alice when he sent it, well, then the light goes that way and she doesn't see the light. Okay, so this guy here is at 45 degrees as well. Again, by principle P2. Remember, we're trying to do everything according to the principles. No, I'm okay, thanks. Okay, so we got this guy's 45 as well, even though Bob prime is in motion. Doesn't matter. Okay, so this is also 45. So now what? The tick marks upon on Bob's world line here, measuring the time according to Bob, how would I draw these? Are these evenly spaced or not? They're evenly spaced. There may be time dilation. In fact, there will be. So the tick marks on Alice's world line are close together. The tick marks on Bob's world line are further apart because there's this time dilation. But that's not relevant here. What's relevant is that the spacing is even, whatever it is. Okay. So now what happens? What does Bob do? What's the next step in his clock synchronization procedure? That's right. So he counts the total time, divides it by 2. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Okay, let's suppose there's 10. 10 divided by 2 is 5. So he's got 10 there. He divides that by 2 and he gets 5. So where's the midpoint of this? The midpoint of this is about there. Okay, so that's 5. Okay, so what he concludes is that that's this one here, the event P. And so what he concludes is that this event here, halfway in between, is simultaneous with this event, the event where Bob prime received that light signal. So he concludes, so Bob and Bob prime would say that these two events are simultaneous. So for them, if we were to catch up with them and stand in their reference frame at rest with respect to Bob and Bob prime, those two events are simultaneous this way. Like, we would hear them at the same time if they were like snapping finger events. Okay? So, but are they simultaneous for Alice and Alice prime? So which one occurs first? So here's time according to Alice. Here's 1 second, here's 2 seconds, here's 3 seconds, here's 4 seconds, here's 5 seconds. Oh, P occurs first, then there's 6 seconds, and then 7 seconds. Oh, P prime occurs. So P occurs at 5 seconds, P prime occurs at 7 seconds. Okay, so for Bob and Bob prime, those two events are like this. For Alice and Alice prime, who see Bob and Bob prime drifting like this, they see this event, then this event. Okay, so that's really, really important. That this idea of simultaneity, when two things are simultaneous, that depends upon the observer. For me, these are simultaneous. If you're moving relative to me, you will see one first, then the other. Yeah.
Well, by the principle, you said that independent of the motion of the observer source, the speed of light remains constant, right? So then in our diagram, we have the light signal going up 45 degrees from Bob's line.
Yep.
So then Alice's world line is vertical, and there's an angle from Alice's world line to Bob's world line because of the because of his time dilation.
Because of his velocity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's some velocity here.
Exactly. So then would she, like, by that diagram, it doesn't look like she's perceiving light speed to be at light speed.
Well, she is. Maybe I just draw the diagram badly. So this is vertical. This is supposed to be at 45. This one's 45.
Oh. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. So I mean, when I say 45, I mean relative to the blackboard, relative to the vertical and horizontal of the blackboard. Okay, so that's that. Okay, so actually this idea that simultaneity might not be relative, may not be absolute, but might be relative, might depend upon the observer, was first suggested by Poincaré, and then a little while later, it was Einstein who actually understood concretely what this means. Okay, so what this means is quite radical. Okay, it's quite beautiful, the consequences of this. All right, so let's look at this just quickly, and then we'll take a break. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Bob's x-axis. Okay, so we know all about Bob's time axis, right? So in these pictures that we're drawing, that's Bob's time axis. That's Bob prime's time axis. This is the time, according to Bob, these tick marks along those axes, right? So this is CT Bob prime, and so on and so forth. Okay, so we know all about time axis. But what is his space axis? Here's Alice's time axis, and here's Alice's space axis. Where's Bob's space axis? How do I draw Bob's space axis? Yeah? I see a tilt there. Which direction does it tilt? Like that? Like that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. How many are happy with that as Bob's x-axis? Okay, we've got some work to do. Okay, so let's just quickly do this. This is really cool. Okay, so where Bob's x-axis lies is not there. Okay, so here is. Let's first of all think physically, practically, the platform that lies between them. Okay, so stretching from Bob to Bob prime is a platform. They're both standing, they're standing on two ends of a platform. So, and their clocks are synchronized according to our synchronization procedure there. So when Bob's clock reads 0, Bob prime's clock reads 0. When Bob's clock reads 1, et cetera, et cetera. So it looks like this. This is time according to Bob and Bob prime in their frame. Okay. At t equals 0, how would I draw their platform that lies between them? Just a straight horizontal line. Okay, so this is their platform. And t equals 0. Okay, because the platform, I mean, it's just like this, you know. Here's the clock on one end, here's the clock on the other end. When those clocks read 0 at the same time, stretching between them, at all points of space between them, is points of matter, all the atoms making up that platform. Okay. So what about at t equals 1 second, according to Bob and Bob Prime? What does their platform look like? It just looks like that. Okay. And similarly here. So this is a snapshot of their platform at various times. Right. So now let's look at what those platforms look like in this picture here. What do those? So the picture of those platforms at various times in Bob and Bob Prime's frame is just simple. What do those platforms look like? What do those snapshots of platforms look like? According to Alice and Alice Prime, who see Bob and Bob Prime drifting to the right. So that platform is drifting to the right in Alice and Alice Prime's space. How would I draw one of these platforms? Tilted which way?
Up to the right.
Up to the right? Why?
Well, because there's something that we've got to do between T and P prime.
Okay, so according to Bob and Bob Prime, that event and that event are simultaneous. Those events for Bob and Bob Prime are like this. The platform between Bob and Bob Prime at that time, it stretches just from that event to that event, right? All the little atoms in that platform, the physical atoms, occupy this space here, from there to there. Okay, so it's tilted up like that. Okay, so that's a snapshot of the platform at that time. So here is our point P, and here was our point P prime here, and the platform stretches from there to there. Okay, and so at different times, here's at an earlier time, here's at an earlier time, and so on. And here's at a later time. So that's their platform. So you'll notice that their platform has this tilt. What do you think the angle of this tilt is? Suppose that this angle is 10 degrees. Same. Here's a good guess, and it's right. 10 degrees. Okay, so however much Bob's time axis tilts, Bob's space axis, or his platform, tilts the same amount. The point here is this is Bob's x-axis. This is the x-axis according to Bob. This is the time axis according to Bob. Okay, so the picture that emerges here is like this. So here's space and time, according to Alice. And here is Bob's world line. Here's Bob's time axis. Okay, it's tilted by some amount. And Bob's space axis is tilted by exactly the same amount, but not relative to Alice's space axis. Okay, so these angles are the same. Call that alpha. Okay, so this is Bob's x-axis, like that. Okay, so this is very similar to what you are familiar with in Euclidean geometry. Okay, so in Euclidean geometry, we have this sort of thing. So suppose that we have a two-dimensional space here, which is the blackboard, Euclidean space, flat space, and Alice comes along and draws a coordinate system on it like this and says, here's my coordinate system. And when I look at points in this in my space, I will say, well, there's a point. The x and the y coordinates of those points, that's the x coordinate, that's the y coordinate. And to get, say, the distance between here and here, what would I do? What would Alice do? If she knew this and this, what would she do? She'd take this squared plus this squared square root would give her that. Okay, but now suppose that Bob comes along and says, well, I don't really like those axes. I will draw a different axis. So I will choose my y-axis. So the y-axis, according to Bob, is this one. Where is his x-axis? Okay, whatever that angle is, maybe that's 10 degrees, we tilt it down the same amount. So this is the x-axis according to Bob. And it's saying 10 degrees. Okay. So now, Bob says, well, what are the x and y coordinates of that of that point. Well, we drop perpendiculars. We drop perpendiculars to the y-axis and the x-axis. And so that distance is the square of this plus the square of that, square root of that distance. Okay, so that's Euclidean geometry. What we see here in Minkowskian geometry is if Bob's time, now we're doing space-time, if Bob's time axis is tilted by some angle like this, instead of Bob's x-axis being tilted by the same angle but down, it's tilted up. And the difference between down and up comes from that funny minus sign. Okay, the geometry is different. Okay. And you can also talk about distances here. Alice measures a distance in her space-time between, say, that event and that event. What she does is she draws a triangle like this. And to get the square of that distance, she goes that squared minus that squared. Square root gives me that distance. And Bob and Bob prime can do the same thing. Okay? So it's exactly the same sort of thing. Okay, so